It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. Thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast all around the world during this lovely holiday season if you're listening to this live. And if you're not listening to it live and you're going, it's not the holidays, you bozo. Well, it is as we're recording this, you guys. And Joe Grande here at the house. Mark Wasserman is at his house. Mark, how are you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm thrilled to be here and on the air with you.
Well, you know, thank you for holding down the show the last few podcasts because you have been on quite the roll lately. I mean, you have a lot of great personal things that are going on in your life besides your STDs going away and everything being in remission. Oh, wait, sorry. I watched a movie and that's just, I don't know why.
That was a movie.
STDs in my head.
I never had any actual STDs. Well, I think I had the crabs once, but you know, who hasn't?
You know, you're just a great square and God bless you if you haven't had any, but if you have, you know, you're a bozo like us players. But we've been having a great holiday season. 'Tis the season to be jolly. As we talk about cannabis and all this good stuff, something I want to bring up to you right now, Mark, is first off, your brother's not here and Blue's not here right now. We love them very much, but they're with us always in spirit. And I really wish Blue was able to elaborate on this as Versus, it's a big, big thing in the hip hop world. And our very own Too Short and E-40 from the Bay Area were on this. Too Short's in there smoking his new cannabis brand that he has, which is dope.
He launched that with us. Didn't he launch that with us at the Brush? Yeah.
So we had a big, big party for Too Short when that popped off. And it's Too Short and E-40 square up in the final verses of 2020. Now, Versus is a thing that you go on Versus and watch these two rappers basically go back and forth with their verses. And for those who do not know the Bay Area hip hop game, like cats like E-40 and Too Short have been doing it for years. Like E-40, Too Short put out his first album in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? In the 80s.
In the 80s. Freaky Tales. I mean,
he's done the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and he's done 2020. And you know what's different, folks, in 2020 that he's done? He's launched his own cannabis brand. Yes. As well as still spitting raps and still calling chicks bitches and still just slapping. It's just, you know, the OG rapper that's just been crazy. Bitch, bitch. And of course, E-40 was right behind him. Both these cats, here's a interesting story for you, Mark. You ready for this?
Yes, tell it.
I literally bought a tape off Too Short at the Berryessa flea market early or late 80s.
Wow.
You know, in the game when Too Short was coming out. I grew up in the Bay Area, San Jose. He was selling tapes in the parking lot right before you walk in. And I heard that shit and I was like, oh, this is slap. Like, oh, I got to get that. My dad let me buy it. I never forgot it. Wow. It's just been one of those. I've been down since hip hop, since, you know, it's funny because E-40 said when he fell in love with hip hop was when he listened to the Sugar Hill Gang. And that's when he said he wanted to be a rapper. And then he became 11. He wanted to be a rapper. And I too. And here's the crazy part about that story. As we've heard this a long time ago in my high five, I relate to the first time smoking weed. I smoked a joint. I was 6 years old. And I was listening to the Double Dutch Bus. The same fucking song, the same group that E-40's talking about in this verses. And it goes back like Similac with hip hop and smoking weed and growing up and all this stuff. And it's just crazy to think that, you know, granted, these are my ties to hip hop as well. They're Bay Area, but they're as well as everyone, a lot of other people in the country, let alone the world. You know what I mean? Yep. You don't have to be from the Bay Area or just a hip hop junkie head to understand that. You could have been like, oh my God, I remember listening to the Sugar Hill Gang. Now, what you hear is not a test. I'm a rapping to the beat. Anyhow, all the good stuff, right?
And my friends are going to try to move your feet because I am the one to mic and I like. Okay, so
hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I got to bang. Yeah, You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
It's funny. Like I said, I remember being young, smoking weed, getting high, having a great time. Grandmaster Flash, the Furious Five, all these good old East Coast cats that were there. And when it came out and, you know, like growing up and smoking, it's just nice. So, Mark, I know you haven't had a chance to see it because I just sent it to you earlier today. Yeah. And it just came out yesterday. But it's the Too Short and E-40 square up in a final verses of 2020. For those who are into the history of hip hop, the ones who want to see a good time and two rappers just sitting there having a blast, it is dope. And one of the other funny things is, ready for this one? The DJ for E-40 is a cat named Big Von. Big Von used to be our intern back in the day for the Doghouse for Elvis and I.
Oh,
and he's
shit.
Just done so well for himself. And he was always such a big hip hop head from Pittsburgh, California. Good old. And the Dirty Bird is what I like to call it. And he's the DJ for 40, which is dope. Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it's good to see a guy that we know up there who starts his cannabis brand and he's been rapping for decades.
Decades.
Isn't it amazing to you?
I mean, like,
when you think about it, going, damn, how can cats pull that off?
Not many cats. I mean, in the grand scheme, there's not many that have that longevity, you know, so many one hit wonders. And, you know, maybe they were here for 2-3 years, but to last through the ages is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
To go your 80s, 90s, 2000, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, everyone looks at pretty much like Snoop going, oh, my God, he's got to be one of the oldest rappers. He came after the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just,
yep.
It's just funny. And now, speaking of rappers that are doing things and this and that, as I mentioned, the whole Too Short E-40 battle, let's go to the Dirty Dirty and talk about a guy by the name of DJ Khaled. Another one. First off,
another one.
DJ Khaled, if you don't know who he is, he's a producer. He's made many, many, many hits. He was a DJ, and another one is one of the hits that he makes. But on top of that, a heavier set dude based out of Miami, actually, and a very cool guy. Nothing bad to say about him. Everybody that has ever met him and knows him has nothing bad to say about this cat. He is such a good dude. He's been a good husband, good father. He has his little son. And everything about him is dope, but he's lost some weight and got into working out. So what does that mean now? Well, now he's entering in the CBD game because of his lifestyle and wellness sector of life.
Wow.
Which is great because, the mega producer and Grammy Award winning artist DJ Khaled announces his entrance into the CBD industry inspired by his personal wellness journey. Now, Khaled has partnered with Endex Corporation, which is EDXC, if you're on the traders, a leader producer and manufacturer of hemp-derived CBD wellness products, which will introduce his new company and debut his first collection in 2021. I think it's just great because you get guys in there and they get in the business. We already had Jay-Z. Jay-Z's doing big things, teaming up with huge companies, doing it real big. And I really believe that, you know, Khaled, his knowledge and passion, as he says, for CBD is bountiful. And we realize we are aligned in our approach towards products, quality, and business acumen. We understand and share the values that a brand goes beyond physical products. It needs to help people feel good about themselves and be part of a day-to-day lifestyle. The reason why I'm so happy about a cat like this, Mark, is because Khaled is like a real one, meaning he ain't going to push some bullshit. I feel he's going to know what his product is. He's going to be all about it. Like his music, like everything he does, he's full hands on. You know what I mean? He's not put my name on something. Yeah, this is good. I've liked it. And to each their own that do that. I'm not knocking that. I'm saying I like a guy who really, and once again, I don't know this for sure, so I'm not validating this. I have a good, strong gut feeling because of the work that he does with his music, the way he is with his family, and the way that he gets approached to slap a million different products. I mean, yeah, we see him on a Verizon or an AT&T commercial, whatever it is. You'll see him on this and that. Those are big, big companies, and I'm sure he's doing his thing. But I just don't see him, quote-unquote, selling out just to put his name on a CBD company product. So that's why I want to go that as a good, strong, go green segment. It's Joe Grande, Mark Wasserman, Cannabis Talk 101. When we come back, Mark, I want to hear all about your new clients. And is it a cannabis goes bad story again?
It most definitely is. But there's also a mixture of some other things.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this. Cannabis Talk 101, Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. Blue is a little busy right now. Craig is probably napping. And Mark and I, we are the late night owls. I almost feel like we need to get some late night music, Mark.
Right?
Have you break down the story of a new client. What happened?
Love songs on the coast. That's what I'm thinking of right now. Is that still a
Javier
thing?
The X-Man. Órale, pues.
So, yeah, when cannabis goes bad, consultation calls. I work every day. You know, whether it's doing this or talking to a client or doing a new consultation, we got a referral, and somebody had received a DUI the night before. So, it'd be Sunday, so Saturday night.
Strictly for drinking?
Well, so I was told by the person who referred that a cannabis DUI was coming my way. A cannabis DUI.
So you were thinking strictly cannabis?
Yes.
Normally how you get approached that way? Will they distinguish this is a cannabis DUI or it's an alcohol DUI?
No, usually I have to ask. But this person told me they were told it was cannabis. So they told me it was cannabis. So I get on the phone with the prospective client because, you know, when we get approached and somebody wants us to represent them, just because they have money doesn't mean we're necessarily going to represent them. You know, I have to evaluate the case. I have to evaluate a lot of things. And so
will there be several times that you'll turn them down?
Sure. Sure.
Can I get a situation? Before I want you to
actually going, but I'm going to this one is this potentially is one of them because I had to say I may not represent you.
Elaborate, keep going. Oh my god, does it does in the past has someone did it? Well, fuck you, you fucking bastard.
When I've alluded that I don't care if about your money, I won't represent you because of this and that,
right?
Yeah, I've had that.
Well, you're a prick. You're an asshole.
Maybe once or twice that might have happened when I turned a case away for.
Or do they do the "I'll give you more"?
That's happened. You laugh, but that's actually happened. And I was once offered $200,000 to put $300,000 in my client trust account. For 33 days.
You were offered money to put money in someone's account.
I was offered. I have a attorney-client trust account. Okay. Now, an attorney-client trust account is typically where unearned retainer funds go. So, hey, yeah, you're going to retain me. You're going to pay me $5,000 and I'm going to work $700 an hour. And as I work, $714, you add it up, I start taking it from the trust account. Put it into my general account because now I've earned it. It's my money. Unearned money stays in the trust account, belongs to a client. Maybe a client, hey, we're doing a contractual deal. I got to give $30,000 to another party and I don't want to put it in a bank or escrow. I'm going to put it in your trust account for a minute. And then you cut the check when the deal's signed, da, 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 da. Or here's $50,000. Keep it in your trust account. If I need to be bailed out, you cut the check to the bail bondsman. You know, there's lots of legitimate, righteous reasons.
There's a lot of reasons why you'd get a lot of money like that.
Correct. And put it in the trust account. So I had once been offered, here's $300,000. I need you to keep it in your trust account for 33 days. When you take it out, you just keep $100,000. And like, no, it's like, that was,
why not?
Cause that's like that there's nothing good is going to come out of that for me. That is somebody in my estimation was trying to clean out some money. Because it was cash. Oh, I didn't mention that, did I? It was cash.
Can you put that much cash in a lawyer's trust fund account and no, they don't question you?
Yeah, like you know, whether or not you get questioned, I guess somebody could, but you know, if it's,
I go to my bank and I put 12 grand cash in, they're going to fucking start questioning the, you know,
well, they have to, when you put that much cash, when you put over 10 grand, 10 exactly. grand or more in the bank, you got to notify the IRS. The bank has to notify the IRS.
So do you have to notify the IRS as a lawyer when you do that for your trustee account?
When you get cash that's earned income, you're supposed to fill out a document with the IRS that, hey, I took in this much cash when it's earned income, you know? So, but the bottom line is I knew that there was nothing legal about what my client was trying to do and wanting to do. And I wasn't going to be a part of it. I wasn't going to jeopardize my license or my career or my life to be part of money laundering, you know? So, you know, there's a variety of reasons why attorneys will turn down cases. And so getting back to this consultation call, this guy starts telling me that he has a cannabis DUI he got last night. And I said, okay, let's start from the beginning. What were you doing? Why'd you get pulled over? I didn't get pulled over. I drove through a checkpoint.
Drove through it?
Drove through it. Was a little confused, didn't realize it, and drove through it. So then I said, did you have anything to drink also? Oh, well, yes, I had two drinks. And so the information, remember I told you the information that was given to me was?
It was cannabis.
Cannabis. So the person who told me was told by the person who I was talking to, the prospective client, that it was cannabis, which immediately told me that this person lied to the person they told. Who told me? So I said to my prospective client, before we go any further, you just told me, first you told me it was cannabis. And then you told me you actually had two drinks. Okay. Now I'm an attorney. I'm also an alcoholic and I haven't had a drink in 2 years. So I know you're fucking lying.
Right.
Whoever told
me. You can smell the lies nowadays so quickly, can't you?
Oh God. Oh my God. And I said, you know, I don't care who you lied to in your life. None of my business. But if you're going to hire me and you want me to help you, I can. In fact, I won't take your money if you're going to lie to me because I'm going to look like an idiot when I go to court. Because if I say things and rely on things that you say and they're lies, the DA is going to see right through me and know I'm a liar and know my client's a liar.
Right.
And we're not going to get anywhere. So you got to tell me the truth. That's the only way I can best help you. So I go through, you know, it's basically a deposition when we're interviewing a new client, how everything happened and all that. And so no drinks to two drinks, about eight or nine, you know, and then I went into the day before to figure out how much drinking was done the night before. You know, and so, I mean, because it all adds up when it comes to alcohol and the cannabis. This person did not smoke that day. This person smokes maybe 2-3 times a week and hadn't smoked for a couple days. But we know the blood is going to come back with the cannabis. Now, this person also did the field sobriety tests.
Oh, they
twice.
Did.
And we say time and time again in California and other states, you'll have to Google yours, that the field sobriety tests are voluntary. And here during the holidays, it's just so important to know these rights surrounding when you're driving around, wherever you are. Know the laws. Some states you have to do the field sobriety test or they take your license. Some states you don't. And in states you don't, where it's voluntary, Do not ever do it. There's no reason to ever do it. You're never going to pass it. The cops are always going to say you fail. And this person did it twice.
Did you just sit there and go, oh my God, at what point did you not follow the script? Do you not listen to what we say? What is your problem?
Well, unfortunately, this person did not learn about us until after our conversation, you know, on the phone, when this person then what took my advice and went and watched our page, you know, and then I get the message, oh my God, I wish I saw this before and all that. But beyond that, I said, you know, you said you were confused. You drove through the checkpoint. And if you told me you didn't do the field sobriety test, you didn't say anything, because what she said was, have you been smoking? Have you smoked any marijuana yesterday, today? That's what the cop asked. She said, no, a lie. Then the cop says, did you have anything to drink? No, another lie, right? So we always, don't lie. I'm not
discussing my day, folks. There it is.
That's it. Why?
That's not a lie.
Because here's what happens with that lie. You did the blood test. The blood's going to come out. It's going to show the nanograms. It's going to show the alcohol. And the police report, which is, you know, audio and video, is going to capture you saying no, no. And that's a lie. And when we think about trying to posture and prepare to go to trial, which gives me an advantage during the negotiating process, so I can say, hey, you don't want to give me my deal. I'm going to go to trial because, you know, my client didn't say anything. This is da 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 da. And I can spit out the reasons why I'm going to have a good case at trial. But guess what? In a situation like this, if I'm the prosecutor, oh, yeah, well, your client's a liar. Your client lied. Look, did you have anything to drink? No. And look at how much blood's in her. Look at the alcohol in her blood. Have anything to smoke? Well, what are these nanograms? Client's a liar. So let's go to trial. So that's why you can't lie. You just don't talk. I'm not discussing my day. We've gone over it ad nauseum. It's the best thing to do to always make sure you are preserving your rights, remedies, and defenses so we can use them. So what this becomes, now this is a person who's never been arrested before. And so that's
her favor, his favor, whoever.
Well, and this, I said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I've been through it. You know, and I haven't had that drink in so long, but you, I'm guessing, have driven around drunk many times and you've been very lucky.
Are you talking to me or the person?
I go, you just blew through a checkpoint. What if a cop was walking across that street that you blew through and you killed the cop?
And don't even say blew through, drove through. I mean, blew through makes like a breathalyzer. No, drove through.
Drove through. No, you're right.
Drove through the thing, you idiot.
Drove through it. What if a cop, and that's where they work, right?
Do you ever
then?
Sit there and have to really, or not do you? How hard is it, do you refrain from tongue, from going, you fucking idiots, you drove through a fucking checkpoint and now you want me to help you?
So instead of saying that, I say, think about what if a cop was walking right there and you killed him? That's called, in the state of California,
manslaughter.
No. When you're drinking and driving and you kill someone,
murder.
That's first degree murder, brother. First degree murder. You're going to jail for the rest of your life. This person started weeping. And suddenly,
put it in well fucking perspective. Like, look, you had a few drinks, and unfortunately, during this time, this is where you drank, this is what you did, and this is what you could have done, and this is the repercussions of how they're gonna look at you.
And I say all that to kind of ease into what I say next, which is, you know, this is damage control. I'm going to try to keep you out of jail. But I don't know. I don't know. You know, you might, you know, because it was a checkpoint. This isn't just like getting pulled over and because you didn't use your blinker, where it's like, okay, where's the impairment? Where's the impairment? Well, here, oh, well, there's, you know, and I can only imagine what the video is going to look like.
And let's break right there. Come back. I want you to tell me what happens next. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
So going back, I can only imagine, and I said this to the client, I can only imagine what the video is going to look like of you driving through a checkpoint. You know, so we're going to have to wait and see, and trying to articulate that this is damage control. I don't know what the defense is. Now, it's premature to really talk and analyze because all I have, and I say this to all clients who come in for criminal defense when they first sit down, because they want to know what's going to happen. What do you think? How's it going to go? And all that. And it's like, I don't know, because I only know one perspective, and that's yours. And you were drunk, and it's very stressful as it is to get pulled over and have to do it. You don't remember, you know, this is, you know, is what it is right now. I'm going to have to wait to get the police report, audio, video to make final assessments. But based on what you're telling me and what you remember, this is not a good situation, and it's damage control. Damage control, trying to minimize the consequences you are looking at for a DUI in California, absent any extenuating circumstances. You know, maximum exposure is up to a year in jail. And typically, as I said to this person, if you hadn't drove through a DUI checkpoint, if you hadn't done all the shit and lied, you know, maybe I could sit here and tell you that if this goes bad, as bad as it's going to be, it's going to be like a 3-month alcohol program, and you might do some AA meetings, and, you know, you might have to pick up some trash on the sidewalk and the highways, but you're probably not going to go to jail. That's what I would say.
You're going to jail.
That's what I would say if the circumstances were different. Driving through a checkpoint with cops around, I don't know.
No, actually, Mark, you do know.
Well,
you're going to jail.
I don't know. COVID.
It's a fucking DUI and a checkpoint, dog. Come on.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I could pull off house.
Now, let's stretch that one. Okay, my client is overweight, has diabetes, has fucking kidney problems as well as the diabetes on top of that, and is already an asthma.
Is it a death sentence then to go to COVID, to prison?
My point is, you're going to reach, that's your reach, right? I mean, overweight, diabetic, has lung issues already. And I mean, you can't go sympathy with parents maybe died from, you know, COVID, but they'd have to support that. I mean, you have to support these other ones too, but you can pretty much muster those up. But my point is, that's still not enough, dog. You ran a checkpoint. So my point to you is, you can tell your client their assholes and elbows knee deep in jail.
Well, it's going to, I've actually, this is in 24 years of practice, this is a first. I've never represented anybody who drove through a checkpoint.
And have you represented somebody with a lot less that no matter what went into jail for a DUI like this?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So you're reaching by saying, I don't know. And you
know, I'm keeping good thoughts. You know, I say first time offense, you know.
That one's decent, but she better have the fucking priest, the judge that she knew from somewhere else, the choir practice that she was in. They all better write a letter for her, or him.
You know, you know what? And it's funny because I get clients all the time that shit happens. I can get character. I can get letters of character and character letters and references. And I always say the same thing. That's great. Get them, bring them, give them to me. It cannot hurt. It may not help one bit, but it certainly won't hurt. And who knows? You know, you might garner some sympathy there, but you know, in cases like this, when I get a hold of people like this, you know, I really try to take advantage of sharing what I know and what I've seen and the damage that happens when somebody drinks, drives, drugged out, just impaired on whatever, driving to the point where you shouldn't be fucking driving and people get killed. You know, I represented a guy that it was so horrific. So lucky that he didn't kill a little girl. And this was a guy who was hated his marriage. He was unhappy and that whole nine yards. And he was an alcoholic and he fucked like a couple of Ambiens and drank. And in the middle of some street in downtown LA, residential street, he was driving and there were cars parked on both sides of the road. And he was literally hitting a car to the left, careening off it, going to the right. He bounced off like in a pinball game, the bumpers, 13 cars. And finally, he hit somebody had a big refrigerator in front of their driveway that they were selling. He ended up crashing into that refrigerator, which stopped his car. That refrigerator flew into a 7-year-old girl, breaking her leg. Luckily, only breaking her leg. That client of mine, I had just gotten him a sweet deal on his second DUI 2 weeks before that.
No way.
I was very affected.
Let me ask you, as you say it affects you, do you ever feel like you made the wrong move in something like that?
Well, no. I mean, fighting for my client as best I can, getting the best deal.
You
I
let
can.
A client out. How about this? And I don't know if this has ever happened, nor I even have ever talked to you or prepped you on something like this, or if it's totally wrong and inappropriate to even ask a lawyer. But
well, you're going to ask anyway, so care. Go ahead.
Exactly. I'm going to ask all the time anyways. You're my boy. You ever represent somebody that's beat the shit out of their woman and then they go back and do it again?
No, hard no. I've turned down those cases. And
that's where I would think it'd be hard as a lawyer, right? Like you take that case and you know the guy's a fucking idiot and you're like, I can't even fucking represent you, dude.
I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take where a guy beats a kid or molests a kid. Now I have
You won't even take those cases at all.
No, but I have represented people who I believed it wasn't true. I believed like the mother or aunt or somebody was lying. I've taken cases like that where I believe they were getting hosed and it wasn't true. But cases that come to me where I think it's true, I ain't taking it. And especially somebody who fucking hits a woman or a kid. That's
too much.
You know, I ain't doing it. Or I've thought about it, haven't done it. I could take a case like that to make sure the fuck goes to jail.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm getting you a great deal. Just don't worry. Go in 10 instead of 20 years.
Have I seen that in a movie? Wherever I feel like I've seen that scenario at.
I'm sure it's been talked about because it's thought about. If it's thought about.
So what ends up happening? How does this person leave your office?
No. This was a phone call today.
Oh, how did the phone call end up? How's the
phone call ended with the person going to be coming to the office tomorrow to retain the Pop Brothers at law.
Oh, so you're going to actually retain them and see what you can do.
Yeah. And then we'll follow it. We'll see. We'll remember this as the drive through the checkpoint case.
Can we go male? Did you say male or female? I thought I heard you say both.
I think I used he and she a couple of times.
You did. You confused me. That's why I like that you did that. For the protection of the client, which is great.
Because I have lots of clients and, you know, while attorneys cannot say anything specific about specific clients, we can tell our war stories and, you know, vaguely as it relates to the client, as the client, just talk about the case itself and the facts around.
Well, let's keep each other posted on this. I can't wait to, this is definitely when cannabis and alcohol goes bad.
Yes.
Because maybe his eyes were watered and they couldn't see it because they just took a hit.
Who knows? But
I doubt it. I doubt it. It's usually the alcohol. You know,
I'll get crazy? To the truth.
It's normally the alcohol that does that though, Mark, if you think
about it. No, it is. And the alcohol expands your tongue. That's why you fill your lids, because your tongue gets bigger. You know that?
And that's when you do the stupid things. When you're high, you see the cop. You're like, oh, I better stop. Oh, shit. There's the cops right there. Hoot us. Pull over, fool. You know what I mean? You're drunk. You're like, let's go. Híjole. Well,
and you know what? Drunk people try to drive so sober that they get caught. You try to be so much more careful when you're drunk, and cops can see that.
Aren't you glad you're not getting drinks right now somewhere?
I'm so happy I haven't had a drink in almost 2 years, and just it's good. I feel good, feel great. I was talking to my best friend who we had this thing, you know, we got drunk together for moons and ages, and we'd always quote a movie. Do you ever see Tombstone?
Of course.
All right then.
Arizona's Finest.
All right then. There's a Bill Paxton as Morgan Earp, and they're playing pool.
Good old Wyatt Earp
playing billiards, and he says, "I'm suffering from a hangover," but he was all happy about it. He was like, "You know, things couldn't be better. I'm suffering from a hangover." And so that's we would get wasted, wake up in the morning, and we'd be like, "Oh, I'm suffering. But man, it was worth it, right?"
Them Earp boys were crazy back in the that you know, those are good documentary style stuff to learn. If you ain't hip on that, go do yourself a history lesson and learn a little bit about Tombstone and Wyatt Earp and
that. Did you go there? You been to Tombstone?
I've never been to Tombstone.
See, me and my buddy I'm talking about, we went, wow, man, probably like 6 years ago or so.
I was going to go. I don't know if you know a guy by the name of Joe McDonald, the big nasty. He did ESPN radio for years out here.
Yeah.
He passed away not too long ago, but me and him did a show together for a while, me, him, and his cat, Tim Cates, and we went out to Arizona for spring training. He was huge into the whole Wyatt Earp thing and this and that, and he was actually going to take us, and we never went. And that's why it makes me think of it when you say that.
Well, let's go. We'll go. We got to go. We'll go.
We definitely got to go, and you know what? We got to go, too. So it's Cannabis Talk 101. If no one else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.